Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, Steve Harmison, looking back at day two of the fourth Ashes test between Australia and England. You are listening to Following On. So if you listen to the show, you no doubt know by now that Australia ended up declaring 416 for eight. Stuart Broad taking five wickets. I wonder what Chris Silverwood would be thinking about that, actually. I'm sure he'd be delighted for the bowler and for England. But when that introspective look at how the Ashes has unfolded, the fact that Broad has starred with the ball today may make the decision to drop him for the first and third test that much more of a bad error of judgment. Either way, that's a story possibly for another day. Jack Leach went wicketless again, but should have taken a wicket. Usman Khawaja dropped on 28 and Usman Khawaja ended up ended up last man out for 137. 260 ball vigil, 13 fours, and he put on some good partnerships. Steve Smith yesterday and today, Pat Cummins as well, and also Mitchell Starc, and really has just taken the game well away from England, you feel, if not for Australia. Overstepping, then Zach Crawley would have been the first duck for England of 2022, but he's been given a reprieve, caught a first slip, but he's two not out at stumps. Hamid two not out at stumps as well. England 13 with that loss.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy, first things first. Social media is ablaze. Everybody wants to know the big battle. So what exactly happened when Moeen Ali and Sir Alistair Cook walked off the set yesterday? The mics were away, and I'm sure... let me imagine the scene. I reckon you were holding back Mo, and Butch was in between Cook and Mo. Matt Smith, you know, he's jumping on the back of Alistair Cook. Dan Norcross is commentating. Yeah, it must have been carnage there. I can only imagine if there's anything like what goes on at TalkSport, the air would have been blue with salty language. And I imagine that the makeup people had a big task in their hands just to cover up the bruises today.
Yeah, it was. It got pretty hairy. I would love to see it. Not quite as bad as me and Goffy got at times during our coverage, but no, I thought it was brilliant. It got some negative press in the media saying the two of them had fallen out. Far from it. You know, when you sit next to somebody who you played with for such a long time and you've been in a dressing room as long as these two guys are, like me and Goffy do quite a lot, you can say things to your friends that you couldn't say to people that you don't get on with. And they won't take offence. I think there's no offence taken. Two absolute, you know, legends of the game. Having a little bit of banter, and banter's a horrible, it's not a great word in cricket in the recent past. But, you know, they can have a bit of banter with each other. You can name call each other, still have a bit of fun. It just shows you that, you know, behind the great games that they had, there was also good and witty sense of humours. If you had seen Alistair Cook about half an hour before that, some of the noises that was coming out of that young man, I have never heard noises out of another human being when he was asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was blowing some snoring out you'd not believe. I just wish BT would actually show it. I think you might see it in a few years on a Christmas bleeper show. And Moen thought, right, cookies. Maybe he's not on his guard. I put a few shots across the bow and had a little bit of a fun discussion. But that's all it was. It was quite good humoured, quite good fun. I think Moen's been a breath of fresh air. Yeah, talking honestly and openly. You know, the way he spoke about even selection, I couldn't believe what he said tonight. And I think in between innings, or I think it was just in between innings, I think he said, talking about Stuart Broad, couldn't believe how England could even contemplate leaving Stuart Broad out. And this is Moen Ali, who's got to go back into an England dressing room with the people who are selecting the side. So, you know, he's been honest, he's been punchy, he's enjoyed doing the punditry. It's a shame he's not out in Australia, because I think we've needed probably more from our spin bowling department. I'm not saying Owen would have made a difference. I'm not saying he would have gotten wickets, a load of bagger wickets, but I think he would have given a little bit more an air of confidence that he had a more control of what he was trying to do, rather than I thought Jack Leach bowled okay today. Better than he has done in the series so far, but how much better would he have bowled if the England captain had took that catch?
Yeah, well, let's talk about. I mean, yes, it was a painful moment, wasn't it? Joe Root putting down Usman Khawaja, who, by the way, apart from when he was 99, he looked like a player. I was in Sydney in 2010-11 when he made his debut. And I mean, the way that was a poor Australia side and they were clinging on for a hero. They needed something. And the way the newspapers reported his, I think he scored 37. I'm going to guess 37. And the way that the newspapers reported it the following day was like, basically a new messiah had been born. That was never really going to be the case. But, you know, he's been a part in and around the side for 10 years now. He looks like he's at peace with the world. Looks like he's at peace with his game. He's not putting any pressure on himself. If he gets in, he gets out. He's just going to play his game. He knows his game. He knows how to construct an innings. So credit to him. Probably when he was 99, that's when he started to get a bit nervy. But before I talk about Khawaja, and in fact, I'm going to talk about that as our moment of the day. Okay. So we won't talk about Khawaja's century. But Joe Root is a captain of spinners. That's what I do want to talk about, because, you know, it was interesting watching Moen Ali, because there were times when there was a lot of criticism about Joe Root's captaincy when Mo was bowling. And again today, so there's these stats going around. John Etheridge picked up on some comments, I think, on the TV over in this part of the world, where they had picked up on the fact that Jack Leach had bowled three maidens, I think, in the entire series. And Shane Warne, who is excellent, obviously, when it comes to spin bowlers, was very quick to say, well, hang on a second. How can you bowl a maiden when you've got a field setting like the one that Jack Leach has been given? So how do you rate Joe Root as a captain of spinners? And do you have sympathy for Jack Leach as well? Because he doesn't seem to have the confidence to be able to pick his own field. And that just means he gets milked.
There's two things in that when you say Jack Leach is given his field. You're an international test match bowler. You shouldn't be given anything. You know, if you're given something as a test bowler, you shouldn't be playing. It's like we talk about the coaching department. If you need to take a batting coach into a test match with you and think that you need that batting coach, selectors want their head read because they shouldn't be picking it.
Hang on. Let me just stop you for a second there, because Joe Root walks off the field at Adelaide and says his bowler should be bowling Fuller. And he gets absolutely destroyed by Ricky Ponting, Schiappelli, and a whole host of other people saying, you're the captain, mate. You set the field. And if your bowlers don't bowl where they should be bowling, then haul them off. So who sets the field then? Is it the captain or is it the bowler?
Well, I would like to think it's a combination of both, but the bowler gets the final say.
Do you think that is what happened today?
I would like to think so. I think there's a little bit of both in this year. We go to Brisbane, pick him on a green seamer, stick two men, three men round the bat, He goes at 12 and over.
And that was Joe Root. That was Joe Root picking that field, right?
Yeah, well, but I would say they both picked the field. I would say they both picked the field. And now they've come with a combination that they're going to work from out to in, which gets some confidence, gets them going. The problem is, it's all well and good saying the captain should set a better field. But it's like saying, right, Steve Armisen, there's three slips in a gully and you go and ball bounces every ball. You know, you've got to be able to bowl to your field. You've got to have control in what you're trying to do. And unfortunately, and this is not Jack's fault. I'm not wanting to stick the boot in Jack Leach. No. I feel sorry for the kid. Unfortunately, he's the best spinner we've got. We had a discussion, me, Butch, about, you know, you can go all the way back to the mid-60s. You could probably count on one hand how many good spinners we've had in that time. We were talking about on air 2005 and how important Ashley Giles was to the four fast bowlers. He was, in isolation alone, you know, how good was Ashley Giles as a spin bowler? In the unit, he was a very, very good spin bowler. You know, Derek Underwood, Phil Edmonds, John Embry, Monty Panesar, Graham Swan, Ashley Giles. That's it. I can't remember too many more where we've really had a struggle. During my time, we were talking about Richard Dawson. We're talking about Sean Udell going to Pakistan and India when they're 40. You know, we have had a struggle with spin bowlers in this country. And unfortunately for Jack Leach, he's getting thrust into an Ashes series. I don't think he's comfortable bowling to the field he sets because I don't think he's got the control and I don't think he's got the confidence in his action to really feel as though he can let go of the ball with two men round the bat, mid on and mid off up, no deep sort of mid wicket. I don't think he can bowl that. He certainly can't bowl to a left-handed batsman from over the wicket. I don't think his action can bowl to that, because what he seems to do is he goes over the top too far, which means he doesn't get the drift. What he does is he drifts the ball and spins it in the same direction. You look at somebody like Graham Swan, you look at somebody like Nathan Lyon, you know, they're not over the top. They're not quite round on. They're in between. They're probably on 12 o'clock. Maybe he's a little bit more, you know, a bit more rounded than that. So what they do is, because then they're like that, they get loads of revs on it. Jack Leach doesn't get any revolutions on it. Because they get loads of revs on it, they drift the ball away from the angle that they turn it from. So they're drifting it away, and then it spins back. And that's what Lyon and somebody like Swanee does. Jack Leach, actually, because he's too far over the perpendicular, he can't get the revs on the ball. So it comes more out the front of the hand. So it actually drifts in towards where the ball is going to spin and then spins nicely into the bat. And that's how he struggles with getting left-handers over the wicket. So if you stand over the wicket, he drifts the ball in towards off stump, pitches off stump, and it goes on to hit middle and leg. You bowl him any top order test match batsman, middle and leg, and it's just Christmas. Thank you very much. And just milk you all day. So we can have a go at Joe Root's captaincy about setting fields, but I think you've got to look at the bowler and think, well, how good is he to bowl at them fields? And hence why he has to start from out to in, which means out to in means deep square leg, deep mid wicket, long on, long off, and try and build some confidence and some dot balls. And even that, he struggles to bowl with confidence and dot balls. So you've always got to have a protective arm around him. Because if you bring the field in, you go, you like what Brisbane, you go at 12 and over. You keep the field out and Joe Root gets nailed as a captain. And I think the bowler's going to take some responsibility here and say, well, right, this is my field and I'm going to bowl to it. I don't think that happens.
Stuart Broad, undroppable now. I mean, you know, we were just saying yesterday about the article in the Telegraph, two tests to determine his future. Well, you know, he's come and done it again, isn't he? And that a lot of people get annoyed by Broad, but boy, he can talk the talk. He is going to be a phenomenal broadcaster, but he walks the walk, doesn't he? I mean, he always backs it up when he comes out there firing because he's not in the side. He comes in and he absolutely delivers. It's crazy.
We said it on Tuesday in the Critic Collective, said it yesterday. And I always say it, and I keep People think, oh, you stick up for Stuart Broad all the time. You're close to Stuart Broad. You know, you've got a good relationship with Stuart Broad personally. You played with Stuart Broad. That's got nothing to do with my opinion of that kid. Every time, more often than not, that he's either said something or he needs to deliver to perform, he performs. He went through a patch about 2 or 3 years ago where he was probably at the crossroads of, does he pack in and retire or does he carry on? He went through a little bit of a patch where you weren't sure what you're going to get from Stuart. But in the last 2 years, I think he's been fantastic. I think he keeps delivering. He keeps getting better. I thought he was excellent today. I thought if Mark Woodhead came off with 5 wickets today, I think nobody could have complained. I thought Jimmy Anderson was again, you know, what was Jimmy? 30 overs for 54. Yeah, this is 39-year-old. Yeah, this is England's best attack. Excuse me. This is England's best attack. And, you know, Ollie Robinson will come and try and take Stuart Broad's place, but you put him in an Ashes series, you put Australians in front of him, you question his place and value in the side. The question marks are valid. They're always valid because of the age that these guys are and the amount of games they've played. And the Telegraph might be right. It might be his last 2 games. It might be 2 games to prove his career because England might at the end of the series turn around and go, you know what? We're not playing great cricket. We're not winning cricket matches. So we might just turn around and say, right, we're going to move on from Broad and Anderson. We're going to see if we can do it without these two great bowlers. We're not going to be as strong for the next 6 months, but hopefully beyond that, we might unearth two bowlers to fill half the void. That might happen. But they can only ask questions of each other and of a unit against an opposition when they're picked. And when they're picked, I thought the bowl fantastically well. The catch Khawaja and the bowl him out for 275. They catch him and the bowl him out. England bowl him out for 275. Tired bowlers bowling at the tail. You know, whacked a few. Been there, done that. Demoralising when the catch goes down. But I thought the three seamers were absolutely fantastic. And I go back right to the very start of this whole series. Even before they even left for the World T20, when Ben Stokes was available, I said, and I'm happy to, and I don't want people to say, oh, you were right or anything like that. But the minute Ben Stokes was available, England were always going to play with 3.5 bowlers. They were going to have 5 bowlers in their side. I would have picked 5 seamers every single game because our spinner wasn't going to be good enough in Australia. Ben Stokes was going to bowl sparingly and to get him into the series. But once you pick a spinner and Ben Stokes, you are playing with 3 out-and-out bowlers that you could hang your hat on and 2 half bowlers because a half-fit Ben Stokes and not really too much of a usable of Jack Leach, you are always going to hamper your bowling unit. And it amazes me how well England have done this bowling unit in the 4 test matches that they've played so far.
Are we going to see Stokes bowl again in this series?
I don't think we'll see Stokes bowl this summer. I really don't. If he gets an IPL contract, he might get into the IPL bowling. But if he's done his intercostal, been there, done it, 3 months, you know, and there's such a difficult injury to come back from. It's a bit like a hamstring injury. You feel good, you feel as though you can come back. You come back that 1 week too early, goes again, and you've just gone back to square one with 3 months down the road. So. Yeah, you know, if he's tore an intercostal, I don't envision Stokes to bowling again until June the 2nd when England play New Zealand because he came on the field. The telltale sign was he came on the field and went to slip. He's not fielded slip probably since June because of his July since he busted his finger. He came on it on a slip, ball went in front of him. It would have been even Ben Stokes fielding a slip. And practicing, it would have been an unbelievable catch if he dived in front of Joe Root because there was no way it was carrying to Joe Root, even if he dived forward. But he came on the field for the simple fact is it wasn't an impact injury. And if he stayed off the field from lunchtime till now, he wouldn't have been able to bat to 7 because you've got to spend the same amount of time off the field. On the field and off the field. So, you know, the time would elapse when Ben Stokes was available, or he would the position you'd be the first position you'd be able to bat would be number seven. So I think he came back on the field knowing that his body was, yeah, stiff, sore, and he wasn't going to bowl. But he came back on the field to make sure he could bat in the position he would need to bat, because it shouldn't hamper his batting too much.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Moment of the day.
It wasn't quite up there with Steve Waugh, was it, in 2002-03? But as the clock ticked towards tea and Usman Khawaja moved into the 90s, and suddenly his very zen-like facial features suddenly went a little bit stressed. The crowd started booing Pat Cummins because he was farming the strike. It just reminded me of Steve Waugh, because it was a fitting century, a fitting moment for a very talented player who probably should have scored more than nine test centuries. But he's had one chance and he's taken it, hasn't he? Travis Head, of course, only missed his test because of COVID. And like Scott Boland at the MCG, he's basically made himself undroppable. He's going to have to play in Tasmania. And I mean, what a choice Australia are going to face in that test match. But I thought he played wonderfully well, Khawaja. He looked a little bit ruffled when Ben Stokes was trying to knock his head off. And I did wonder why we didn't see Mark Wood try and do the same thing more often. But credit where credit's due.
Yeah, 100% credit where credit's due. Other than the nick off the ball off Jack Leach to Joe Root on 29-30, it was faultless. He didn't play and miss outside his body line. He defended the ball very well. He rotated the strike. That was the thing for me. Rotated the strike very, very well. When England's bowlers were putting them under pressure, you know, Broad bowled a lovely spell at him in the middle afternoon. And I thought he handled that very, very well. And when the ball was offline, he punished it. He hit the ball square of the wicket very, very well. A couple of nice pull shots off Mark Wood. The crowd were obviously waiting for that 100 moment. His wife and baby were waiting for that 100 moment. And he thoroughly deserved the applause that he got. And it just seems that both sides have got ridiculous selection dilemmas. You know, I think England would like to play 15 and Australia are struggling to get 11, you know, 15 into 11, because Richardson came in and Nisa came in and did well. Richardson getting five wickets. You know, Head will come back after getting 100. I just worry that if Marcus Harris doesn't get any runs in the second innings, that's where Khawaja might go and bat. Listening to Simon Kattich and Stuart Clark on commentary, they're both more or less indicated that they think Khawaja's best place is at opening or batting number three. So you'd have to open. I think he's played nine test matches in opening. I think he averages in the 80s. So that's where he potentially could fit in if Australia want to make a change and bring Travis Head back, which I would imagine they would. So no, I thought it was a perfect innings, or near perfect innings, other than the nick. And I thought he handled, he held that middle order together. When England bowled, I thought England bowled reasonably well, very well in the middle period. Broad had some serious questions. Wood bowled with fire. Anderson bowled with discipline. But Usman Khawaja had all the answers to all the questions that England bowlers had.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, I always give you credit when you get it right, but you got it wrong, didn't you?
I did.
You said England would bowl well today. Well, they did bowl relatively well, but of course they're hampered by only having three bowlers. So what's going to happen on day three at the SCG?
I hope I get it wrong again. But them five overs, Pat Cummins, wow. I just worry what if we might bust some fingers tomorrow. I think he's... It just seems the harder you hit this pitch, the more you get out of it. His height is obviously the difference between him and Wood. Wood's got maybe he's 5 kilometres an hour, maybe he's more on Pat Cummins. I think Boland could be a handful on this, as in when he comes into the attack, because he's not small, he's not short, but he hits the deck hard. And Mitchell Starc gets his radar right, we've seen tonight. He was all over the show, and then bang, one spot on wicket taking ball, Nick. And if it wasn't for his size, 14 feet, he would have had Zach Crawley out. So I think Australia, I think 400's a lot of runs. I really do. I think on this surface, I think 400 is a lot of runs. A slow outfield as well when it's been, with it being, you know, rain affected. So the only question I would want to sort of be asking Pat Cummins is, has he got it in them, if he bowls England out cheaply, to follow on? Because with the rain around, whether he wants to win the game, I'm sure he wants to win the game and win the series 5-0, that he might have to ask his bowlers to follow on in this game. And it's not the done thing. So that could be something in Pat Cummins' mind. But, you know, so far, so good for England. They got over the five overs. But if Pat Cummins gets it anywhere near right, like he has done in this series so far, he's due a bag of wickets. He didn't get anywhere. He hardly got any wickets in that game at the MCG, and he bowled beautifully. So he's due, isn't he? So it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a few. And England will struggle. Can they get past the follow on? That's the big question. In 2021, we didn't get more than 200 on many, many occasions. So they're going to have to work hard and battle hard and hope 2023 is a new year. But I fear the worst.
Okay, well, we'll find out whether Harmy was right or wrong on the Following On podcast following day three at the SCG. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.